I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I tried to call this guy last week. First of all, he's a badass. Second, Marine, which kind of is redundant. Heroic figure, by the way. But had this crazy surgery, which we're going to get into. And he was in all this pain. I said, "My man, come on, you're a Marine, man. Come on, man. Let's go." Brian Bear, how are you, Brian?
I'm doing great, Marty. How are you?
How are you feeling?
I feel great. This is my second full day back at work. No meds anymore. You know, like walking, talking, feel good. All my brain fog's gone. Feel great, buddy.
This guy started Hellbender. Tell our listeners what that is. It's magnificent. Go.
So Hellbender is a little company here in Pittsburgh. We're about 80 people. We make these on-edge perception systems. So think AI, but not in a data center. Think in a camera, in a sensor, like trying to do things that make a real impact in somebody's, you know, business bottom line right there, whether it's, you know, quality control or safety or robotic control, you know, things like that. So this is all technology CMU's been doing for years and years and years. But, you know, where we are with the silicon right now, it's time to get out of the data center and into actual devices. So that's what we do here. So we're a mix of manufacturing and engineering.
You make the parts that make AI work, in essence, right?
We do. We're a little bit of a, we make kind of the picks and shovels and denim for the gold miners out there in the AI space right now.
And his big investor is one of my boys, Jay. We all love Jay, don't we?
Jay's wonderful. Jay from Magrak Venture Partners. Yep. They're our largest investor. They were our lead on our seed stage round, which we just closed. So, and they're absolutely fantastic.
Hey, here's what I love about you, man. First of all, you're here. Second, you didn't leave Pittsburgh, and you could have. Third, you love hiring veterans, and you also have your family working with you. Are they still working with you?
Yeah, my daughter still comes in.
Nice.
Like, you know, she's 14 now. So, we've probably been stretching the Pennsylvania description of family farm is.
Sure,
a little bit since she was 9 years old.
Sure.
But she's still coming in to work, and she's a little mad. She's on spring break now. I didn't let her come into work because I wasn't sure if I was going to be here or not. She's a little pissed. But
all right, let's get down to this magnificent, heroic thing you did a week and a half ago. Yeah.
Monday the 23rd. Yes,
come
sir.
On, man, lay it out. It's a beautiful story. This is heroic. Go ahead.
Well, so I don't think it's particularly heroic, but the so about a week and a half ago, I donated a kidney up in Cleveland Clinic. Wow. Although I got lots of great things to say about UPMC as well. I did this through the National Kidney Registry, NKR.org. And this was surgery performed by Dr. Alvin Wee. Total top.
What happened? Man. Right when he was telling this magnificent story, I'm going to send you his, or maybe he'll call back. I'll text him. He dumped out. What happens sometimes is the technology fails. Isn't that ironic? Or is that you? You back, Brian? We'll get him to call. So the guy who has this startup, and the reason why I'm telling the story for so many reasons is he's so damn loyal to Pittsburgh. He's so damn loyal to to America and to the military and to his family and to creating jobs and technology here. He's an absolutely magnificent person. And add to that, he stayed here and has been enticed many, many times, because what happens is oftentimes with these startups, Brian, you there? You there, Brian?
I am. Can you hear me, Marty?
Yeah, sorry, we lost you there. Start over, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Why did you donate this kidney?
Oh yeah, sorry. I was gone for a second there. So I donated this kidney. This is to help somebody within our community down here in Pittsburgh. But the story really started last summer. Somebody here at work, a coworker of mine for the last several years, and a co-founder here at Hellbender. Their spouse needed a kidney, and I didn't raise my hand fast enough. So I volunteered, but I was pretty far down, on the waiting list. But something funny happens when you raise your hand to volunteer. You mentally go through that, acceptance and what it's going to mean, what impact it's going to have on you. And so I got really comfortable with that idea pretty quick. And so when she didn't need my kidney,
what?
Then I started looking around for somebody else that did.
Come on.
And we found somebody else in the local community. And, we did it through the National Kidney Registration process. And, they were registered up in Cleveland Clinic. So we did it up at Cleveland Clinic last week. And that was that. Like, it's damn near an outpatient procedure. Like, I was in Monday morning at 1 a.m. for check-in. I was there. They had my kidney out by 8:15 a.m.
Wow.
And the next day, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was discharged on Tuesday.
Hold on. Stop it. This is insanely courageous and badass. You gave your kidney to a stranger, man, right? Because you give a damn. That's amazing.
Oh, kidney somewhere, yeah. Oh, like, they said it made it into somebody, wow. Like out of state. Like, but the, wow. Yeah, it's all good. Now it's living its own life, like doing a great thing. I mean, the wild thing is, and not a lot of everybody knows this, you've got two kidneys.
Oh, yeah.
And you only need one. Like, you can live a totally healthy life with just a single kidney. And so for me, this is just a no-brainer. Like, the only thing I need to give up is ibuprofen. That's it. I can't take Advil for the rest of my life. So, not sponsored by Advil, obviously. But the, so now down to Tylenol only. But that's it. That's really all you're giving up. And you're giving somebody the gift of life. Like, the person... I don't know anything about the person that got my kidney. I know the system that's at work in our country is through the NKR,
yes.
Is a give a kidney, take a kidney process.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Bring a donor into the system, and then you'll get a coupon for a kidney.
Wow.
And I wasn't a direct match for the community member, right? I'm a positive, like I'm a match for like 38% of the U.S. population. But not for the person that needed it. So they'll get one soon. Most of the folks that need kidneys, there's 90,000 people that are waiting for a kidney in the United States right now.
Right now.
And most of them are going to get right now. And the, I don't know if you followed, but, our local state senator, Lindsay Williams. So she sponsored this Pennsylvania Senate Bill 124.
Love her.
And it just got passed yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's all about allowing donors, like living organ donors, to deduct the expense that you go through out of pocket from your state taxes. She's just trying to lower the barrier. It's a great bipartisan bill, but she's trying to lower the barrier to get people to donate. Because at the end of the day, it costs a little bit of money. And KR is great about reimbursement. If I wanted to, I could turn in all my receipts and they'd pay me, but I don't need that. We're very fortunate. So that's not
every day that, about 15 people die waiting for these kidneys that my man donated a kidney. There's like 94,000 people on a list. You save someone's life, brother. Do you feel that?
Yeah. I mean, hey, it's no. But it just feels like the right thing to do, like it's like helping stop traffic so kids can cross the street.
Wow.
I mean, really, when you look at the numbers, it's kind of a no-brainer. Everybody should do it. Not everybody's in the state of health where they can, but I'm a healthy young man at 47, Marty. You know, I could give up a kidney. It's all good.
You're unbelievable, man. We did this. We found kidneys for several people. And a woman from Cleveland, this is a true story, Brian, saw our social media. We're looking for a kidney for a guy who was about to die, quite frankly. She saw our social media, came from Cleveland, and donated her kidney, saved his life. And that same woman, a year later, gave half of her liver up. People are so cool. Right?
Dang.
Right? I don't want to give
That's
any ideas.
Awesome. Yeah,
I don't
want to give any ideas. Amazing.
What is it about your nature? You were the same way in the military. You had a highly decorated career as a Marine. Is this how you were raised, or?
It is. You know, I'm an Eagle Scout. Nice. I was, you know, like good household.
Wow.
You know, family's got a history of service. This is, you know, the expectation that I was raised with is, you know, be a participating member of your community. Work hard, play hard, like contribute. And you know, not everybody can.
Yeah.
But if you're in a position where you can make an impact, you know, the kidney I gave up, not my kidney anymore, but the kidney I gave up, it's expected to last 25 years.
Wow.
In somebody else. Right. And so the person that got it was almost certainly on dialysis. And which is just, you know, at the end of the day, when you're, you know, when you're waiting for a kidney, at some point you get too sick to get one.
That's right, brother.
And then you're going to die.
Yep.
Like, that's just kind of how it works. So this is very fortunate to get to save somebody's life.
Brian Baer, president and CEO of Hellbender. AI is insane. It's so tough, man. It's such a up and down. How do you manage that? The craziness of it, sir.
Oh, so I think if you kind of focus on the reality of it,
yeah,
and a little bit away from the hype, like AI is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great tool. I love Bernie Sanders, but Bernie says he's out to take everybody's jobs. Look, the jobs that AI is going to take, like, you know, finally they're not taking manufacturing jobs.
Right,
AI
on,
can't
brother.
Turn a wrench,
right on.
You know? So the, you know, maybe it's time for some of that middle management to get thinned out. But the, you know, what it does is it makes a bunch of things easier and better. It's a force multiplier. So if we're going to compete with China on kind of the international stage, then, you know, we need tools like robotics. We need tools like AI to help us offset the free massive human labor that they've got. Cause we got the hardest working people in the world here. Like, you know, we just need to get the right tools.
And you're, by the way, very loyal to here, where a lot of guys like you say, to hell with this. Here I come, San Fran. You said no. Why?
I mean, I'm a member of the community, right? Wow. Like, wow. I've been in Pittsburgh for you know, 20 plus years. My daughter was born here. I've been here since I got out of the Marines when Carnegie Mellon hired me at the Robotics Institute and you know, gave me a gift of a career. And you know, like, I don't take that for granted. This is the community that, you know, that you know, like, gave us these opportunities. And so, you know, we have a 0-to-1 problem here in Pittsburgh where we need more geckos. We need more Duolingos, like showing that you can walk the walk and build a company here and be successful like you could in the old days. And, you know, at the end of the day, the talent's here. The cost of living is great.
It is.
Like, you know, climate change is making our weather better here every day, in my opinion. Like, we're at the place to be, you know. So we're in a neat opportunity where, you know, we're hopefully moving our factory back into the city limits like later on this year. We're not quite sure where yet, but we're super
wow,
excited about getting into the city limits.
Cool.
We think we've you know, got a lot of support from Corey O'Connor in the mayor's office. Sarah Innamorato came out and visited us from the county executive. Like, her team's 100% behind us.
Nice.
Like, so the you know, we've got, you know, and it's, you know, it's not just, you know, one party support. Like, the you know, McCormick,
McCormick's
office has been absolutely fantastic for us. So the it's the right time for Pittsburgh to make a splash and do big things. And if a couple companies can demonstrate that you could build a company in Pittsburgh, and you know, you could put people to work, and you can give AI jobs to blue collar workers and pay above a living wage, then you know, let's do it, buddy.
Brian Baer, president and CEO of Hellbender. I love you, man. You represent everything I love about this country and about this region, man. You just do. It's amazing.
Appreciate it.
Hey, before you go, the people I know that have done what you did said that it's more painful than for the donor than it is for the person getting the kidney. Is that true? Were you in pain? I heard
no
this.
Way.
No?
No. Look, they're grandstanding. Come on. Like, look, let the donors are heroic enough by just like giving up a kidney. And you know,
stand up, man. Show us your scar. I'm kidding, Brian. My
yeah.
man.
Oh, you sure? You sure? I'll do it.
Do it, man.
I'll do it.
Man, I love this guy.
Yeah, so what you got? Look, this is
look
easy,
this.
Man.
Look at this.
Like, look, see this?
Look at this.
See this? That's it. You wow. got like 4 puncture wounds here.
He's unbelievable.
And I got a C-section scar that's a little baby bikini C-section scar. So it's like there's really nothing to it.
I
you know,
you,
I'm not even on Tylenol right now. You know, I made the mistake the night before surgery
yeah.
watching some like post surgery recovery videos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I saw all these tattooed up bros that were like, oh, it's the most pain you'll ever be in. Man, screw that. Like, you've been in way
my
worse
man.
Pain than that. It's like getting your butt kicked
my
pretty
man,
bad,
the Marine.
And that's about it.
I love Marines. Brian,
like,
you're the best, brother.
Fast.
I'm going to bring my son out there. I want him to meet you, okay? He's 15.
Hey, please do.
Yeah.
Yeah, just hit me up on my cell phone.
All right, my man. Thanks, Brian. He's a hell of a man there.
Hey y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you
it's
get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
Oh, man, it's cool. He's a badass. Come on, man. His backstory, he was an insanely highly decorated Marine, veteran, salt combat. I mean, seriously. Goes to Carnegie Mellon in the robotics department. He was genius level. Seriously. And then says, oh, I got this idea, and here we are. I want to mention it again for two reasons. Number one, that he's so damn loyal to country and Pittsburgh. You heard what he's talking about, right? His daughter's 14. She's at work. He wants to stay in Pittsburgh, wants to manufacture in Pittsburgh. Come on, man. I've met a lot of young people who are geniuses that have startups from Carnegie Mellon. The university is insanely cool. And with all due respect to their idea, what happens is, and I know I've seen this actually firsthand in my own family, they get this idea, and Patrick knows this, they get funded by these accelerators, venture capital companies in San Francisco, and they're gone. My daughter's boyfriend, quite frankly, his startup, he's from Carnegie Mellon, funded in San Francisco, and that's where he is. No, actually, he's in Turkey, where they're growing the company. What my man Brian did was, he said, hell with that, I'm staying here, man. I'm building here. And then to add to that, this kidney thing. He makes it so casual. But it's not, man. So he's created 100 jobs. The company's exploding with his AI. He's going to be a zillionaire. Could care less. He wears t-shirts and hats, which makes him even cooler. And he loves Pittsburgh and had the chutzpah to donate a kidney to a stranger to save someone's life. And he's diminishing the pain level, but he's now the third person I know that did this. And Patrick, you know this. You've heard the same thing. The pain is insane.
Yeah.
What I was told.
Yeah. And I've always heard that it is worse for the donor than the recipient.
But
the recovery is harder.
He manned up.
Sure did.
And he's loyal. And he's a patriot. He's a father. He's a king, man.
Inspiring.
Oh, I love him. He's inspiring. In case you were watching the stream or weren't, my man stood up and showed us his scar. Trevin, kind of a cool guy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, really.
Oh, yeah, Brian is awesome. I talked to him a little bit off the mic. But yeah, he's cool.
He's a player, man.
That's amazing.
Just fired one of my favorite people. Ha! Pam Bondi. Mm-hmm. She's going to go work for Judge Judy, maybe. Just got fired. Just fired. Aw. She was so good. Not.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So much risk. That was a hell of a story, man. Patrick, how impressive was that?
I mean, wow. Show me the scar. All right, here you go.
Oh, I just... Lance O'Brien, 'tis a fine day, lad. Can I ask you something?
Absolutely.
Completely out of the boundaries of what you do at MediConnect. It's never happened. 35 to 50% of Americans are getting homes financed at 5x their income. Now, my man, if you go to a real estate guy today and they try and sell you a house that's any more over 2.5x your salary, you can't afford that house. People are going nuts because they can't buy a house. 5x, brother. You know that? You know how
I did not know that. That's insane, though.
No, you talk. This is why this is relevant, because you know this stuff so damn well. You got folks right now that are trying to balance the cost of paying for their coverage.
Yep.
And then exploding rent and housing costs.
Fuel now.
Fuel. But how do you manage it, the healthcare, when they say, I'll just cut back or I won't pay for that? What do you tell them? Do you lecture them? Are you trying to be honest with them? You could die kind of stuff?
I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody should ever go without healthcare. Right. You know, now there's a lot of discussions that can be had around that about how do we accomplish that. But I still will contend, you know, and this wasn't what we were going to talk about initially. So this is just gut reaction.
It's just pivoting.
Yeah. Like to me, the cost of what people pay for Medicare and what they get really is a pretty good deal.
It is, the way you lay it out.
Yeah, like, you know, again, I would go to Medicare in a heartbeat if I could, right?
Same.
A lot of employers, if they could have what Medicare covers for the cost, because again, $200 to somebody that is living on a fixed income of $1,800, which is the average Social Security check, that is a lot. Like, it's 10%. It's 10% of their income, right? That's a lot, right? But for the most part, there's not a ton of out-of-pocket costs when it comes to that, right? So, like, I would never go without insurance if it's humanly possible. Yeah. I would never go with straight Medicare, right? Because there is too much risk there.
Supplement.
Yeah, you need either a supplement or an Advantage plan.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And again, some people poo-poo the Advantage plans because, you know, there's prior authorization. It's more managed care, things like that. And I get it, right? But, like, I'd rather have somebody enrolled in a zero premium Medicare Advantage plan that will give them a max out-of-pocket. Meaning, you know, because on the red, white, and blue card, Marty, 150 days in the hospital is going to cost you $60,000, and you have to pay every penny of that.
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah, seriously, because there's no max out of pocket, right? So
does that happen?
Yeah, it happens. Damn. Yeah. Now, again, it doesn't happen super frequently because a lot of people do.
And that could happen.
It could happen, right? So, you know, now again, if somebody can afford the supplement, I can understand why they would say this is the insurance to go with. Yeah. But you got to be able to invest about $450 a month of your income to get that type of coverage.
Oh.
Now again, if somebody's living on $1,800, now we're not talking about 10%. We're talking about 25% of your income just to have health coverage.
And then throw in the house.
Throw in the house.
The car.
Rising
food.
Gas prices, which means delivery prices rise, which means food prices rise, which means it all rises, then it gets incredibly difficult.
Wow. Okay, so I heard something this morning, and Patrick and I have been doing some research. So Lilly has this new GLP-1 drug. It's a pill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cooler because you don't have to take it at certain times of day. You don't have to inject it, blah, blah, blah. And Lilly says, call us directly, and we'll sell it directly to you at $125 a month. Is that going to happen more and more?
Well, a lot of the, and this is one of the things people don't realize, is that there's assistance programs out there, but a lot of these drugs companies, they have assistance as well.
Right.
You can file for a grant or whatever, right? But I can see it happening more, because think about it this way. If they can get $125 directly from the consumer without having to deal with all the insurance stuff, then they're probably would be beneficial for them to do that.
Wow. But consumers don't think that, so they just pay it.
There's something in the consumer psyche, Marty, that they're like, I can't go outside my insurance to fulfill my prescriptions. Which is crazy when you think about it, right? Like, what people do need to understand is insurance is there to hopefully get you the best price. But if insurance can't get you the best price, who cares about the insurance? Go get it outside of the insurance and get the best price.
I've never, Patrick, have you ever had to do that? I've never had to do that once. Have you, Lance?
Yes.
Have you? What is it? What drug?
Well, originally when I was getting my Rybelsus, it was going to be
like
$400 a month. That was the first GLP-1 pill for type 2 diabetics. It was going to be like $400 a month. I went through Lilly and there was a manufacturer's coupon and I got it for $25 a month.
Wow.
I'm doing it right now.
For what drug?
When I have my stent put in, they put me on fish oil. It was $225 on my insurance. I use GoodRx and I get it for $67.
Whoa.
And then they put me on Prosugrel, which is a blood thinner. Again, that one was about $70 a month. I'm getting it for $30 outside of my insurance. I'm just using GoodRx. And the thing of it is the first time I gave them the coupons for GoodRx, I went back to pick them up a second time. And they already had the information stored on my record, and they just gave them to me for the cheaper price.
So, to both of you, this is an avenue most people don't go down, is it, Patrick?
No, not until they finally discover it.
Huh.
My wife has one that I learned from Lance, gabapentin. It's more expensive through insurance than it is through one of these other, like GoodRx.
Yeah, and that's one we have talked about here in the studio before.
What's Cuban's company?
Cost Plus.
Yeah. Anything from them?
Cost Plus is good. I mean, again, whether it's Cuban, whether it's the Trump RX, because they're kind of Cost Plus, right?
Yeah.
Or locally in Westview, Blueberry Pharmacy.
Wow. Yeah,
right?
Cool.
Like there's a local one where you could go pick it up or whatever. And again, generally the way the Cost Pluses are working, Marty, is it's the price plus like a 15% markup for the operational costs, right? And then there's a lot of times where you can save money there.
Wow. So folks have to do some homework.
Or talk to someone who knows.
Your people.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I want to get this. Is it Mr. Butler?
Hello? This is Dave and Butler. Hello?
It says Mr. Butler. All right, Dave. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
We have UPMC for life. And the one shot I have to give my wife every 2 weeks is $1,500 a shot.
What?
But the UPMC for life is covered. All you got to pay is the Medicare is, I think, $2,100 out of pocket this year. And once you pay that, everything's covered. All our other medicines, Eliquis, all that stuff is covered.
So that's why you have that coverage.
That's one of the big changes that came out of the Inflation Reduction Act.
What?
Right? They got rid of the donut hole.
Oh.
And they capped what you could pay on your medications every year, which is what the caller's referencing is $2,100, which just was a great change.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you don't have insurance, just think about it, $1,500 every 2 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah, so this is actually a great call because it's the antithesis of what we were just talking about.
It is.
This is where insurance really shows itself out because now this guy is getting a massive discount on his prescription.
And without it, sir, you can't afford that. You can't afford that.
No. Hell no. So here's the other thing. Last year, the end of the year, UPMC sends you a thing saying how much they paid out over the year. For just my wife, it was $76,000 they paid out.
It's a great call.
It is a great call. And honestly, this goes into a ton of other questions. This is why there's been so much changes to the plans, Marty.
Wow.
Because these insurance companies, with the changes of the Inflation Reduction Act, had to pick up a lot more of the prescription costs.
Oh.
So because they're picking up a lot more of the prescription costs, it's impacting some of the other benefits. That's why like a caller might say, why did my dental go down? Why did my vision benefit go down? Why do I have less over-the-counter this year than I had before? It's because they're trying to cover some of these prescription costs that they didn't have to cover before the Inflation Reduction Act, right? So it's all tied together.
It's amazing. Can you hang?
Yep.
Lance O'Brien, MediConnect. Lance O'Brien with MediConnect. So, considering what we're talking about with expenses, when you get folks who call you at MediConnect and say, I can't afford insurance, how do you talk them off that financial ledge?
Yeah, so the first thing we do is we go into a full needs analysis, right? Like, they can't afford what they have right now. Do they have the best coverage for their situation right now? Then becomes a question. Like, you know, are there plans out there that would cover their prescriptions for, you know, a better price? Is there a plan, like, can they not afford the monthly premium? Is there a way that they can get into a premium that may reduce their benefits a little bit, right? But it also still gives them quality coverage, right? So it really comes down to, because affording something is relative, if you don't really know why they can't afford it. So it really starts with a full needs analysis of their health issues, their finances, you know, because sometimes, unfortunately, what happens, Marty, and we see this a lot, is a spouse dies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And then there is a significant decline in income, and what they were able to afford before, they can't afford at that point in time. So then it's like, well, what... Our goal when we meet with somebody is always to get them the best coverage that they can personally afford. And that is different for everybody.
So you have folks that can't afford insurance and they just bypass having insurance. And if they can't afford insurance, they certainly can't afford prescriptions. So they go without anything.
Well, we're seeing that more in the individual space prior to Medicare.
Oh, wow.
Right. So if somebody's not Medicare age yet, they're not working for an employer and they have to get insurance on their own. Yes. With the changes of doing away with the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, right? Like, we saw more people in that situation. Oh, wow. This year, right? So we have seen people go without insurance or just like, I can't afford it. Now they're usually on the younger side, right?
Okay, give me an example of what that would cost them that they can't afford.
Yeah, so again, if they're in their 40s or so, you know, and they're not maybe working full time, it is, you know, they could be looking at, you know, $500 if they're not getting a month, if they're not getting tax credits, you know. Yeah, it could certainly look like that. You know, tax credits are the big thing. You know, if they get the tax credits, it does make it more affordable.
$6,000 a year.
Yeah.
Does that include prescriptions?
That just is to have the plan. Yeah.
What do you tell them?
Well, again, I'm going to revert back to, I try to encourage nobody to ever go without insurance. Because at that point in time, you're just rolling a very scary dice.
These are the folks that just show up at the ER.
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, you know, some people are like, well, if I don't have insurance, they're just going to cover me. Right. Well, that creates a whole nother problem, right? Because that puts a massive strain on state systems, taxes, the healthcare system in general.
And you can't do that with scripts. You can't just show up at the pharmacy and say, give me my scripts.
Yeah, generally, you got to have some method for them to actually do the payment. Now, again, if you don't have insurance, that's where the good RXs of the world and things like that will come into effect. But one of the things people don't realize about Cost Plus or the good RX is, it's not like that's blanket for every medication that's out there, right? Like, you know,
great point.
I'm not going to be able to go with my Wegovy and get a good RX coupon and think that's going to save me money. It's not. There's a lot of drugs out there where the good RX coupon is the exact same price as what you'd have to pay if you had to pay retail costs.
Oh.
Right. So it's not a magic potion, you know, to say it that way. There are certain drugs where you can get it. To Patrick's point earlier, the gabapentin, we just know from working with so many people, regardless of their age, that generally that's a drug you're consistently going to get cheaper outside of your insurance.
It's amazing. Why, though?
Honestly, that one has some issues. It's for neuropathy. Usually diabetics use it, but there was a season probably 5 or 6 years ago, you know, not to give anybody any ideas that's listening, but they were kind of crushing it up, getting... using it for nefarious reasons.
Oh, getting high.
Yeah. Huh. You know, faster results. And again, that is, that puts more risk on the insurance company too, right? So they're making it maybe a little bit more difficult to get at a cost-effective price.
At MediConnect, you get calls from folks who choose cat food over prescription drugs. They do for their cats.
Yeah, I don't know if it's cat food as much, but I'm sure it's happening, right? Dog food, their animals, their pets. Right. I mean, especially if they're living alone. I mean, that's their constant source. I mean, you know, society's changed so much.
You talk them out of that, though.
Yeah, we're always trying to talk people out of going without.
Or cutting a pill in half.
Yeah, Yeah, no, for sure, because I saw a story not too long ago that there was a man in his 30s who was rationing his insulin because he couldn't afford his insulin.
Yes.
Well, guess what ended up happening?
He died.
He died.
Yes.
Right, you know, because, again, the thought process of the consumer is, I got to make this last so that I can afford everything else. But they're not doctors, right? And, you know, there's reasons those doctors are giving dosages and things of that nature. So, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done on the healthcare system in our country at every level, honestly.
I don't want to lose you before I ask you this. We had the Attorney General on, was it yesterday, Patrick, or the day before? Massive fraud in Medicare, Medicaid in Pennsylvania. He says, and we point out a dozen issues, legit concerns.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's, unfortunately, it's nationwide, right? You know, we were talking before the segments even started today. We don't have a taxation problem in our country. I really believe that. Uh-huh. We're more people. Our revenue base is bigger than it's ever been before.
Great point.
We have a spending problem and a fraud problem in our country. Right. And I do think, unfortunately, it's pretty holistic, not just in the state of Pennsylvania and the two programs of Medicare and Medicaid, but it is nationwide. We talked about it a few weeks ago when it comes to hospice. Right. Like out in California, there's fraud there. Like, you know.
Oh, massive.
Yeah. I mean, if we could get the money actually funneled and channeled the way that it would, we would see significant improvements across the board.
I got to ask you this before you go. It's completely off this conversation. Will you go downtown for the NFL draft?
I am planning to.
Wow.
Yep.
Why?
Well, I mean, I got season tickets right to the Steelers. My son-in-law, my daughter want to come up. And,
nice.
And, you know, to them, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Pittsburgh's probably never going to hold the draft again in my lifetime. So I'm up for a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I'll probably pull my hair out when I'm doing it, but yeah.
And about your business, MediConnect has exploded. Your success is tremendous. But you folks have decided to stay here and grow here. Why stay in Pittsburgh when you could go somewhere else and do better, maybe financially?
Yeah, I mean, we are growing incredibly rapidly. Yeah. There's a massive Medicare population here. I mean, per percentage of population, Allegheny County is the second highest county in the country.
Oh,
next,
is it?
Yeah, next to Dade County, Florida.
Oh, is it?
So there's a very high population here. But I'll speak for Brian, the owner of the company, who's not here. If anybody's ever heard him talk about even starting this business and why he did, is because he met with a cop's wife who just got everything screwed up when her husband died.
Oh, wow.
And that was why he started it. And he says, I'm a son of the city. This is my home. Right. And, you know, this isn't my home from the standpoint I wasn't born and raised here, but I moved here in 2002. So we just have affinity for the people of Pittsburgh. A lot of them are hardworking blue collar people.
Is the workforce here?
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so like for us, it's pouring back into the city. There's a lot of people that are turning 65 that we can help and, you know, make this simple so they don't have to deal with some of the tragics
it's amazing
that we've talked about today.
It's amazing what you do. My brother, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's amazing stuff. Really important. MediConnect.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.